This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and guess where we are? Yep, you guessed it. We're on our way to Orlando, Florida, to the Genie Convention, and we are now, of course, in the airport in Houston, Texas, awaiting my magic carpet. That is Southwest Airlines. Always like to give a shout out to them and one of our patrons, a friend of the Magic Word, who's a pilot over there, John Graybill. So I don't know if I'll be seeing John here. I do at conventions from time to time, just like I see some of the other several people who are friends of the Magic Word. And it is in part because of them that we're able to go to these conventions as frequently as they have been and to provide you with these daily reports that I like to give. Never know what's going to be happening. This is always kind of a fun time for me when I'm sitting at the airport and actually thinking about an upcoming convention, who just might be there. I really never know what conversations you're going to be having, who you're going to run into, what's going to be happening. But I have a great time, and I'm glad you guys like to come along with me on these little jaunts and also to enjoy the convention. I know that I get a lot of reports back from you saying how much you enjoy the convention reports and feel as if that you're there with me. So I'm glad you do. This was something also that I had not planned on attending. I have not been to a Genie convention in the past. I've been wanting to, but never kind of got around to it. Well, something just had come up this literally this week. I mean, just like 3 days ago, Perry Vincent, another friend over in Louisiana, in Lake Charles, Louisiana, had a ticket that he wasn't going to be able to use, a couple of registrations actually, and he said, "Do you want them?" And I said, "Sure." So I quickly put together this trip, and in order to get a hotel and the flights and all the stuff arranged and to cancel some other things, I had a couple of Skype calls that I had scheduled for later this week for some upcoming podcasts, and so I had to postpone those until a later time and had to give up one of my symphony tickets to the Houston Symphony. Nevertheless, boo-hoo, right? But you guys get to benefit because we're going to be getting a chance to go to the Genie Convention where Penn and Teller are going to be the featured guests and going to be a lot of other great talent. I know that's going to be there from what that I've seen, and so hopefully get a chance to chat with many of them along the way. Well, I'm looking forward to this, and as always, one of the problems that we have this time, although it's not a wee early morning, it's not like a 5:30 flight, this is more of an 8 o'clock flight, so it's sun's not up yet out there, but one issue is that the last time I flew through for some travel that I was fortunately right next to Dunkin' Donuts at that gate, number 25. Well, now I'm at the complete opposite end, number 51. So get a little bit of exercise in between donuts. And speaking of which, that let's see what the selection's going to be here today. Forgot what I got, actually. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, a maple. Looks like a maple frosted and then a sour cream donut for today. So that's what I'm going to be having, along with a little bit of this hot black coffee. Oh, yeah, that is hot. All righty. Well, listen, until we get over to Orlando and try and find an Uber to get over to where I'm going to be staying. Right now I'm scheduled at the Red Roof Inn, since the convention hotel is packed, unless that I happen to run into somebody over there at the convention who is looking for a roommate, then I'll swap over, because I don't like having to be at another convention hotel that's not the convention hotel, because I got a little bit of a walk or a drive to go back and forth. Well, anyhow, until I see you over there, this is me from here in this fabulous October month. Oh, and let me just also say that this is kind of funny a little bit as well, because I've got here on the same day a podcast coming out with David Parr, which is number 520. And then next week, regular Thursday release is going to be one, I'll give you a clue, is with John Ferrantino. So that is, he does seances, but also is a comedian, and I talked with him when we were at the IBM convention earlier this year and kind of held that back until here this month of Boo for October, so that way I'll share that with you. But we'll be seeing a couple of podcasts released here today on Thursday. When you're hearing this released, pretty much kind of back-to-back with the number 520 with David Parr. And David talks about theaters and choosing his own path. And he had done some comedy clubs, wasn't happy with it, and then went into bizarre magic and storytelling, kind of dark magic. So anyhow, in fact, he has a show called Dark Magic. That's all for now. You guys can listen to the rest. Enjoy it. And until we get to Orlando, this is Scotty out. We'll be right back. All right, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and we've arrived in Orlando, and we're here at the convention hotel and run into Tom Gagnon. Hi, Tom Gagnon.
I got it right.
You got it right. Yeah.
And also one of our newest friends, the Magic Word, Philip Brukowitz. Hi there, Philip.
I'm fine. Good
from
to see
South
you
Africa.
Again. From South Africa.
That's right.
Johannesburg, South
That's
Africa.
Right. And you're not quite so far away.
No. Brain-wise, I am.
You're going to be on tonight at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, yeah.
And you're going to be lecturing, performing. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to do a lecture on all ribbon spread techniques. Not all, but some that I've created.
Now, you say ribbon spread. I've seen some of those that you did over at the Magi Fest before. So
yeah, there'll be a lot of those and some new ones.
Okay. If you got, you're going to have a book or lecture notes?
Lecture notes.
Okay.
The new book is 502 pages, and it's 1,350 illustrations, and it's already been edited by Matt Field and proofread by two gentlemen, and it's going to the printer in about a month.
Okay, but not ready tonight, unfortunately.
No, no.
You taking pre-orders?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think when we talked last February at the Magi Fest, you were talking about the book coming about, so it's sort of moving along. That's
yeah,
great.
It's
That's
ready.
Great.
It's
so
ready.
It'll be by Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. And, Philip, I know that you were talking about you like conventions, and this is, how many this year have you been?
Two. I was at Magi Fest.
And then this one.
And this one now.
Two great ones. Very
Absolutely.
Good ones. Have you been to this one before, Tom?
Yes.
And
last year.
Did you perform last? This is my first Genie convention.
No, I didn't perform, no.
Okay.
I was there last year.
What did you remember last year? It was so great.
I just remember meeting so many interesting people and people who I hadn't met before. Paul Harris, for example, I remember sitting and chatting to him.
Yeah.
And so many other great people. But I'm here to meet people.
There you go. It's not just to see excellent performers like Tom, but other people as well.
Tom, is, I regard as the finest card worker.
Period.
Extent. Period.
There you go. How about that,
Tom?
Sir.
I think you're blushing. I'm just blowing it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, he's spread techniques and his other techniques.
How much money do I owe you for that?
You owe me...
Undying friendship. That's right.
Well, that's already there.
Well, I know that you have to get ready as well, so thank you very much, Tom.
Thanks, Scott. Philip,
thank you, Scott. We'll speak to you shortly.
To the Magic Word Podcast, that was Tom Gagnon and Philip Gerukowitz. Scotty out.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, one of the first things that we always like to do when we get into a convention is, of course, to stop by the dealer's room. And the first thing that you do, it looks like that they've got how many dealers we got here, by the way? Do you know?
More than two.
Yeah, they've got all of them are here. And so, but one of the people I happen to have run into is Richard Patton from Australia. And it's good to see you again, Richard.
Very good to see you, Scott.
I say it's good again to see you because we now when I.
2011.
Okay, because yes. I remember the lecture that you had given before that was about the Knights Tour and had some wonderful work. For anybody who does Knights Tour on there, they should get in touch with you.
Yes.
And you have the two other guys you work with. Is that right? There was a trio of you?
Sean Taylor, Dave Everett.
There you go. Yeah, I've got a little bit of memory left over here. I just couldn't remember their names.
And Sean's here today, too.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yes.
And did you come over just for this convention?
No, we're in the USA for a month.
So, performing or just,
oh no you know, no no I I've retired so
good man
so
me too that's why the beard
yeah. Exactly. I've had this for 40 years now.
40?
Yes.
Okay, well, wasn't gray back then, I'm sure.
Well, almost. I was always old.
But for those of you who might be interested in a Knights Tour, tell them just a little bit about what you do and how to get in touch with you if they want some more information.
Well, it's actually available on library.com.
Library.com.
So if they just search on library.com for my name, Richard Patton.
That's P-A-D-D-O-N. And by that, library is L-Y-B-R-A-R-Y.com. So.
Yes, correct. And the full package of the lecture and two performances, the e-book, all the notes,
right.
And some nice little memory tips on how to perform it and put some drama into it.
Right. Because for those of you not familiar with what the Knights Tour is, why don't you go ahead and give a quick explanation?
It's basically, without looking at a chessboard, you move the knight to every square, touching every square only once until it reaches and finishes on the number selected by an audience member.
So again, that you can start anywhere on the board, and you follow a particular pattern that you have that will eventually land on everyone.
Following the move that the knight makes.
Right, right. Only just the knight. Just one up, two over, or two up and one over.
Correct.
Whatever kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. When I learned that, it was just hard numbered. I mean, I just learned every number, so you could start any place. But you've got a particular code that you figured out a pattern. Without explaining all this, I think that's amazing.
It's four values that I call the delta values, mm-hmm. and it helps you in your mind to check that you are moving to the right square.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of memory involved.
But not as much as what I've done.
No, that's right, that's right. So, four values just helps you along with the path that you need to follow.
And the two guys you're working with, tell the listeners a little bit about the kind of show that you did as a trio.
It was called Out of Your Mind. There was four of us. It was Sean Taylor, Dave Everett, and Adam Milgate, myself. So it was a four-man mentalism show. We actually performed it in 2008. And that had a good run in Sydney. And most of the routines we'd come up with ourselves or had themed them and routined them ourselves.
Right. And when you're performing, is it the same theater all the time?
Yes, yes.
And how do you sell tickets? Did you four-wall it? Did you work? Did you partner with it?
We four-walled it. Okay. And Sean had a magic shop back then, so tickets were sold through the magic shop. And,
How large of a theater was it?
I think it held about 480 seats, 500.
Now, how did you guys tag team that? I mean, I'm always interested. Of course, you think of Siegfried and Roy and, Penn and Teller and some other people who are famous teams, but have a foursome, that's something where you would actually work with one another. So how do you interrelate and do that?
Well, it started off as the four of us introducing the show and each doing a routine with the audience as the four of us. And then we broke into each of us doing one routine. Mm-hmm. So I was the first one, and that was a version of Max Maven's Armchair Bowler that I performed with the sound effects, and they could pick any number.
Okay.
And the prediction was in a little box. And then Sean would follow, and so on and so on. And then we'd perform a routine with the four of us, with various audience members coming up.
So you didn't have an MC, you just kind of said, now here...
No, we actually would introduce for each other, yeah.
And did you work together except for that last thing, and when you were all four together, or did sometimes two and two, or one
two
and three?
Two and two,
or...
mostly four and four, or... individually.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fantastic. And so you're retired and just kind of relaxing. And
that's right. Retired from everything now, and just having a lovely time traveling with my wife.
Now, have you attended this convention before?
First time.
Same.
First time.
Same with me as yes. well. So, what made you decide to come to this one?
My son lives in Mexico. He married there a couple of years ago.
You can't get to Mexico too easily from Florida. I mean, in Texas you can, but not.
Yes. Yes. So. So we were going down to visit, stay for a month, and then the Genie Convention was announced, and we thought, we might fly back up. But what we've done instead is we've stayed in LA, Vegas, just come from 8 nights in New York. Now we're here for 12 days. After the convention, my son and his wife will fly up, meet us, and we'll do Disney World and Universal. Yeah. And we'll fly back down with them for a month.
And then go back home from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you looking forward to seeing at this convention? What you wanted to learn or see?
Look, I really have no preference. It's just so much.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be exciting to
the
enjoy everything.
The general experience.
Yes.
There you go. Well, Richard, I'm enjoying this conversation. Thanks very much. Good seeing you again.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Okay. So the next time, until I find someone else over here, that was Richard Patton from Australia. This is Scotty out. So as we're kind of wandering around, then it's time to talk with one of my favorites, and yours too, because of some of the texts that you sent me and from the downloads we've gotten when you have gone back into the archives and listened to Mr. Brad Henderson. Hey there, Brad.
Hey, Scott.
Always good to talk with you.
Yes.
And so I was just in Austin last week, as we were talking about, and so you actually, of course, teach during the summertime. Your summer teaching is over, I guess.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Now, when I say teaching, you teach at Tannen's Magic Camp?
No.
Where do you teach?
I teach at high-end summer camps throughout the Northeast, Poconos, Catskills, Adirondacks, and occasionally Maine.
Okay.
So I do shows. I have a hypnosis show. I have a magic show. And for some of these, I do magic classes during the day. Honestly, we call them magic classes. Really, my goal is to teach an appreciation of magic as an art form. Sometimes that takes the form of teaching a trick or two, but everything I do is always done with the idea of trying to teach people how to be good magic audiences. My job is My goal is for the kids that spend time with me in these classes to be the best audience for every magician they might encounter, as long as that magician deserves it.
That's an interesting perspective. From the standpoint that you're not just teaching magic, but knowing that they may not pursue that.
I know they're not going to pursue
it. And so this is something that they should appreciate as
an adult every now and then. Now, when I started out at one camp, and I ran a whole magic program. And some of my magic and students were Harrison Greenbaum, Adam Rubin, Kevin Nicholas, Brian Brushwood, and Marcuzetti I brought in to teach there. I worked with Matt Fallon one year. He came in. We brought in Simon Lovell to teach a class. We got shut down, though.
Really?
He was teaching a cheats, cons, and swindles class.
Okay.
And a fight broke out in a bunk over a Monty game that went wrong.
Absolutely serious.
So we were not allowed to teach that class anymore. But, yeah, so I started out there. And there I did have kids that became magicians or magic became an important part of their life, even if they weren't performers.
Yeah.
Like I had one of my students went on to write a paper for Harvard based on the Penelope principle, that for Alex Elmsley's card principle. She did that for a math class.
Okay.
You know, another one of my students went on to become a renowned author who does this kind of investigative journey and always fast. Anyway, point is, the classes I do now, they're done at regular camps.
Mm-hmm.
So these are normal kids that are coming to magic because either they want to and they sign up for it or they get assigned to it. But it is, thankfully, very popular and the kids really look forward to it. I try to give them a magic experience that transcends what they would expect from a magician.
Okay. When I think of the Poconos and the Catskills, I think of like not a summer camp but a summer destination where a lot of people from New York will go for the whole
summer.
Yeah,
that doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't? Okay.
No. So all of those, the Dirty Dancing Clubs, Cats, there was the Concord and Kutcher's. I don't think anybody cares about why they went out of business, but it had to do with the fact that it became just as affordable to go to Europe for the week as it did to go to the Catskills, and these were amazing places. In fact, one of my great regrets is I used to drive by these places and I'd see George Burns or Milton Berle or all these people playing, and I never had the chance to go see them. Some friends of mine and I, this is appropriate, went and saw Penn and Teller perform at the Concord, and it was awful. This was not their audience. I mean, you walked in there, the average age of this room was rigor mortis.
Right.
I kid you not, on the tables, there were these little hammers. And I was like, did they have a crab dinner earlier?
Yeah.
Of course they didn't, because crab is trife, and Jewish people won't eat that. It's because many of these two people were too old to be able to applaud.
Oh, my gosh. You got to be kidding me.
Right. So that's not really Penn and Teller. So we brought a group of the counselors from the camp. This was probably 25 to 28 years ago. And, they did their thing and they got up. But, so I got to see them there. I saw them on Broadway, too, one summer at camp, and fabulous. But it was interesting to see them work for a group that totally was not
their group.
No.
That's interesting.
Had they played Glenn Miller and, had a couple, two twins come out and sing, that would have brought down the house. That or somebody doing comedy in Yiddish.
Now, you've been coming to these conventions for a long number of years. You've come to every one of these Genie conventions?
I came to the first one.
And that's United.
And then Richard pissed me off, and I'm like, I've got nothing to... No. No, I just, schedule-wise, I haven't been able to come to the last one.
Why this one? Why'd you come back? I mean, there's somebody...
Because I write for them, and I get to come for free.
Well, I got here for free also, but from that...
Right. Now I'm here.
Okay, so I guess that's an incentive. But I'm also here to see a lot of friends like you and others. I mean, because I understand this is kind of a microcosm of magic live. From the standpoint, that's 1,600 is like, what, less than 500?
I have no idea.
This is a lot smaller from what I understand. So you get a little bit more of quality time to talk to people instead of it really being shoulder to shoulder.
Maybe. I mean, we'll have to see. The first one I thought was the first one was great. I thought Uri Geller gave probably the best magic lecture I've ever heard. I know that was a controversial choice.
Yeah,
And I understand there was some fallout from that. It's kind of surprising Penn and Teller are here. Somebody was asking me about that.
People
I don't know
either
that story.
A fan of his or not, you love him or hate him. And I did this podcast with him.
I don't know anything about that.
It's about Uri. Yeah, exactly. It's like you. You love Brad or you don't. I happen to be one of your fans. I love you.
You're
I know
one of
people
the three.
Who don't. One of the three.
Thank you.
Okay. But I have gotten to be good friends with Uri. In fact, we text each other once or twice a week back and forth. He's telling
me
about
really?
Oh, yeah.
So I'll tell you my Uri Geller story, and it ties into the Genie Convention. Richard asked me to write a review on Phenomenon, that reality TV show program that Uri Geller did that they, you know, shoehorned Criss Angel into.
Okay.
It was like, you know, the, you know, mentalist idol kind of program.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the next paramount. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The next Phenomenon.
Right, but well, that's what it was. It was over here.
Yeah.
It was their version of the one over
here. Correct,
right?
correct.
So I watched it. We did the whole thing. And I had made a comment. You know what? I was very critical of the thing because I'm a very critical person.
You?
Me?
You said what you mean?
Yes. And I got a letter from Uri Geller, an email. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And he said, you know what? I agree with everything you said. You know, it was like, you know, your criticisms were spot on and, you know, great. And
I accept them.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's super nice. And I said something to him. I said, you know, it's very nice. You know, of all the people in magic, I've always thought it'd be interesting to, you know, to get to meet you. I always thought that would be an interesting thing. And then, of course, he went into woo-woo mode and was like, oh, if it's in the universe, it will happen.
Yes.
You know, whatever. So anyway, cut to Genie. He's here at Genie, and I introduce him, and I tell him the story, and he's like, oh, yes, and now we're here. My prediction came true. Write it down, Shippy. Write it down.
That's good.
And then he starts talking to me, and I write about this in my book, The Dance, available directly from austinmagician.com or through your favorite magic dealer.
Which, let me make a recommendation for that book, too. I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, thanks.
Even though I had very little to do with
it. Well, I've got a new edition where I talk about the fact that I'm having a conversation with Uri, and he starts talking to me, and I'm having this profound experience. And I realized he's basically cold reading.
Hmm. Wow.
And it was like being cold read by the masters, like watching, you know, Leonardo, you know, zip off your character tree.
Okay.
Right?
And good
it was
analogy.
And it was probably, I mean, it was one of those moments where a light bulb went off and I was like, you know, I wrote a book, what's considered a pretty good book.
It is.
But until you really experience it and have that memory brought back of what cold reading really is and what it really does and how it really functions. That was a great moment for me, and that happened here at this convention, the very first one.
Yeah, 2011. Good.
And you can hear the story of that in my book, The Dance, available from austinmagician.com or your favorite magic dealer.
You can read it, not hear it.
Yeah.
You got it by audio, Audible.
Well, they're going to hear it in my voice now that we've done this.
They will, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, after that I had gone to the home of Wizzo the Magician. And
Marshall Brodeen.
Marshall Brodeen, yes. And hearing him tell all these stories. And then when I read the book that John Mooring had written, it's like I can hear his voice saying those same words. So same thing when you get
just
the dance.
Basically, if you ever read anything I'm writing, just inject a lot of arrogance and disdain with a hint of contempt. And you're probably got my tone.
Kind of like Lewis Black, but with a little bit more tension.
I'm less of a people person than he seems to be.
Okay. Brad, always good talking to you. Take care.
Until
next time, that's Brad Henderson. Scotty out. All right. Well, as we're walking around over here, I'm going to go see if I can take a little bit of time from Greg Rustami. And so, hello, Greg.
Hi. How you doing?
Fantastic. The reason I wanted to talk with you was just about your fantastic apps and everything, you know, that now... Tell me about all. I know we got Inject 2. How does Inject 2 differ from Inject 1 then?
Oh, man. We've done a lot of upgrades to the technology that's in Inject 2 in comparison to Inject 1. So there is new features. There's new effects. I mean, there's so many of them. It's really hard to talk about all of them.
Yeah.
But I would say probably the biggest feature in Inject 2 is that it allows you to pair with a spectator's borrowed phone, even though you don't even touch their phone. which is pretty crazy.
That is pretty cool. And another thing that you could do is when you turn your back, I mean, I've got like an Android watch, and so I could look at my watch when they were there putting something in, and I can see what they're putting in.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the many features that it does.
Right, one of the many. I mean, it has a lot of different things that it does.
Yes.
Now, what other kinds of things have you developed aside from Inject?
Well, there's a new product that we just released, which is called Realist, and it allows you to perform amazing predictions with absolutely nothing with you.
Yeah.
So even if you didn't have a phone with you, as long as you can borrow any one phone from anybody, you can instantly jump into this amazing prediction effect.
That's pretty cool. Now, the reason I want to get this now is because I was just watching, as I was telling you, Jamie Salinas on The Art of Magic, which is on YouTube, which I recommend everybody should go on and watch. Anyhow, this past week he was talking about this, and he was using another routine, which was a digital force bag, which is a great trick, and then he followed up actually with this, which was even stronger. And the digital force bag is awesome, but you know, this makes it good because you can turn your back and they just think of any celebrity or whatever it was, you know, that he was doing. So instead of having someone force, they can be someone that they have in their mind. Is that, you know?
That's right. Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, they work great together. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a good compliment from one to the other. So this way it takes it out of your hand and uses their phone rather than yours all the time, which is a really cool part
Of
this. Another reason is that I wanted to get this because it's $10 cheaper here at the convention.
Yes, it is.
So for you people who are listening to this right now and you haven't gotten down here to the convention, you need to hurry up and get this while they last.
Come down to the convention? Yes, exactly. So you can take advantage of the special.
And it's only for a convention. Is it something that they can contact you if they can't? Let's say that somebody's living in Chicago and they can't make it. Can they call and order a copy, or is it just only here?
It's only for the shows that we do the special. You know, the best place is to either go to your favorite magic dealer, either online or in a brick and mortar shop.
Yeah.
Just ask them for a copy of Inject.
Okay. And of course, this is available through iTunes Store and from Google Play.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. It is. So both on the iOS App Store. On the iOS App Store, it's called Inject-Magic.
Okay.
And on the Android Store, it's simply called Inject 2.
And so this ad was brought to you by Rustami Magic.
Yes.
I haven't really done an ad like this for anybody, but it's just that I'm excited, you know, that I like
Thank
the stuff
you.
That you've been doing
Thank
and
you.
What you've been bringing, the new technology, which I love because I don't like when you do a great trick with a phone and someone says, where'd you get that app? That's not what people think when they see
right,
this.
Exactly.
This is the amazing thing about it.
That's right. Everybody that watches Inject walks away usually making the same comment, and that is, that's just my phone. I mean, it's like they recognize that there's nothing crazy going on.
Right.
You know, it's very, very organic because it just simply uses Google as the foundation.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, well, there you go. So you get a chance to see some of the other things that are going to be here at the convention? Or are you
I get a chance to see some other stuff, absolutely.
How many times have you been coming to this convention?
This is my first time.
Oh, it is.
You're a genie. Yes.
Who are you looking forward to seeing?
Everybody.
That's what everybody's saying. No one in particular, but everybody's, you know.
All my friends are here, so I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
Everybody's here. That's good. Greg, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that's Greg Rustami. This is Scotty out. All right, so we're out of the dealer's room and just kind of mingling around and just want to say hello to a few of the luminaries, and here is a fellow who is also that you've heard from time to time, actually every year whenever I go to Vectors. That's because he's the head forker, Mr. Obie O'Brien. Hey, Obie.
How are you doing there, Scotty?
I'm doing just excellent. Fantastic, actually. So you've been coming to Genie for a long time?
No, this is only my second one. Last year or 2 years ago, I had fractured back and I couldn't come at the last minute, and I couldn't come. But 2 years before that, they were sold out, and I called up Richard Kaufman, and Richard said, I got a cancellation. Somebody from England, I can't remember who it is, and I took his room, and that's how I could come.
Lucky guy.
Yeah, you're right. That was the first one, I think, or the second one.
Yeah. So who are you looking forward to seeing?
Oh, all the 4Fers. There must be about 30 or 40 4Fers here.
Yep. Just about every place you look, there are a lot of people.
Yep.
And that's what, speaking of which, I was going to ask you about. Of course, we got the 50th coming up. Anything exciting that you can kind of tell people? Even though it's an invitation-only kind of a thing and it's already full, but tell us about kind of the things that people expect.
Well, if the guys are listening to this, they better get their money in because Glenn Brown just made a prediction that by Halloween we'll be full and some guys won't be able to come. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I said, by Halloween? Holy mackerel. You know what I mean? So the first time Glenn sent out the invitations, I had 14 guys send me their money through PayPal.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a good idea, certainly, because you don't want to miss out. I know some people they probably every year will come back and say, well, I didn't get the email, or I didn't get this in the mail or whatever, and can I register? You know, I've come every year, and, well, it's already sold out. Too late.
I saw a guy walk by right here today for at Genie, right? Hasn't been there in a long time. Adam Spiegel is his name, from New York City.
Oh, I know Adam. Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah, well, Adam wants to come, but it's the 50th, and he hasn't been there in a long time.
Right.
And I got a couple other, three or four other guys that haven't been there in a long time. Believe it or not, one guy sent his money in right away.
Yeah.
So
that's the point, is that some people who may not have been as regular are coming because this is a very special 50th anniversary.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been here for every one of them. You and Tom Craven have been the only two people.
That's the only two, is right. And of course, Steve Beam's got a bet on who's going to last.
Okay. And so I know in the past you've talked about handing this over. So what are the future plans?
Well, I think Joan Caesar's going to take it over and run it. And my wife says, well, why don't you give it to her next year and you just help her out, you know what I mean? And I said, that's not a bad idea. So I don't know. I'll have to sit down and talk to Joan. Like, she's coming, but I think she's coming. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's good timing. You know, I think, you know, 50 years is kind of a nice round number to pass it off after that.
Well, my wife gave me the devil the other day because she said, you told me you were quitting at 40. Right? And I said, yeah. And then she said, Hank Morehouse talked you into going for another 10 years.
And look where he is.
Yeah, you're right.
So there you go. Well, listen, Ob, good seeing you as always, man.
Good talking to you again.
So, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Obie O'Brien. Scotty out. All right, as we kind of are meandering about, and as I said, we talk about the many luminaries who are throughout performing, and some who are not. I happen to run across another fellow who is performing, so please welcome my friend Hannibal. Hey, Hannibal.
Hi.
So,
good to
well,
see you.
Yeah. You don't have to talk too much. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
I know you charge by the word, so you just
I do. Philosopher kind of a thing. Yeah. No, it's great to be here. Great to see you.
And so you're going to be performing here, is that
I
right?
Am.
Are you going to be lecturing, performing, or what?
Just performing. I wanted to lecture, but he was full. He had all things, other things to do. I'm going to be assisting with 49 Boxes and doing my 45-minute show on Friday.
Now, I was just talking with Dustin Stennard a moment ago, and I didn't get a chance to chat with him for the recording, but he was taking names for people coming in to see the 49 Boxes. Now, did you see this at Magic Live?
No, I saw it here. Was it here? No, I didn't see it here. I saw it at...
Magic Castle?
At Brookledge.
Brookledge, yeah.
Yeah, they did it at Brookledge, and it was fascinating.
I fell
in love with the concept. It was just incredible.
Oh, me too. And yeah. I talked with the guys who were the originators of this after Magic Live, and they were saying that it's difficult to try to figure out how to make this so that
we're
it's not...
We're talking about you right now.
We're talking about
you
guys. That's right. Just about 49 boxes. Yeah, I'm Scott Wells. We talked before,
I
think.
I remember you,
Well,
Scott.
Sit back down. What is your name again?
My name is Michael Boris.
Michael, sit over here just a second there, Michael.
Okay.
Because we're just talking about 49 boxes, because what we did at Magic Live before was nothing, because Dustin said, no, this is going to be like an individual experience. Now, but what I was about to say that you already know, that he had said before, Michael, was that you don't want to make it too easy, so that way people think, oh, well, there's nothing. And if it's too difficult, they get frustrated and don't complete it.
For
so
sure.
But now understand, this is going to be like a one-on-one. This is not a team effort we're going to be doing this time. Is that right?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's actually not the truth. But here's the thing, too. Normally, okay, the show is between 90 and 120 minutes. We have an hour to push people through, actually.
Okay.
So there better be some individuals that carry their weight. I'll tell you that.
We're gonna
help shepherd that along. And
okay.
Yeah. Normally, it's a team thing. It's mostly about the community. Because without the community, it's like, what's a magic show without having an audience anyway?
That's right.
Exactly.
So they're the most important part, even more important than we are.
There were a couple of people who were signing up for this a while ago, and when Dustin was talking with them, these people were saying, well, "What's this all about?" And it was hard to explain. I said, "Well, maybe kind of like an escape room-ish kind of a thing, or how would you describe?"
People. But with class.
But with class.
Class and intelligence and heart. The thing's got, it's got, there's a definite goal, but it's encompassed and it's engaged and it's, I can't, the word, the image I get is amber. It is magic encased in amber, and you're trying to get the essence of what is going on and the essence of the puzzle rather than just trying
the
to solve
DNA, they're trying to break into the,
right,
the middle of it.
Rather than just putting the pieces together, it's the essence of the mystery and the history of what he's putting into it.
Building a dinosaur.
Exactly.
Okay,
right.
Okay, gotcha.
That was beautifully put. I've never put it. I've got shivers. Look at this.
So it's very well said.
You know, I'll say this, too, is that there is no failure state either. Like in a room escape, generally, it's you may fail. You might fail. You'll probably fail. But in this case, we are going to make sure that everyone succeeds and the story gets told in the end, and that's important. Right. And the people have agency, and they become the story themselves. That's the most important thing. Yeah. It's not a passive experience. It
at
really
all.
Is.
Yeah.
Now, this has been done, I know, at Magic Live, and then we were talking about at Brookledge then as well. Where else has this been done for the magicians? I know you've done it elsewhere. For
the Magic Castle. It's been done at the Houdini Estate. It's been done in people's homes and libraries and mausoleums and just the weirdest places that you can imagine.
And you customize these for each of these groups?
Many times we do.
It's not always Thayer kind of stuff.
It's not always Thayer. We have four different episodes, but this makes sense because
we're... There's a corner episode?
There is not. There's a love story. There's a murder mystery. There is one that was done, dare I say, for Randy Pitchford's home.
Okay, Peacock Theater.
I'm not even going to say what the theme is.
I'm very
excited, but no one's ever seen it, even Randy.
Wow.
He hasn't seen it yet. And so this makes sense that it's the magic theme one that we're here.
Very cool.
Yeah, there it is.
Very good. I just saw you going by.
So don't leave. Hold on. I want to take a quick photo of you. So that's why the people who are listening to the podcast, by the way, if you're just listening and you haven't actually gone to the website, you can go and take a look at the picture to see what these guys look like then when too. And so that, Hannibal, you're going to be saying you're going to be performing and then helping at the 49 boxes then as well this time.
In the room, basically.
Aside from coming because you are performing, hey, Curtis Cam. That you also want to, you've been here in previous years just because, I mean, what, had you been here before as Michael as well?
I've never been here.
Okay.
The other time that I was here, I was hired to do the close-up.
Okay. I just wondered if there was something you came here to do other than being a paid performer.
Immerse myself in the, in magic here. I've never been to Magic
Live. In
the
environment.
At all, but Jeannie appeals to me. So,
this is fun because it's much more intimate.
Yes, can I give kudos to Alex because he really helped. He's the other half of Fortnite Box.
So Alex?
Sorry about that.
Yes, hi. I'm Alex.
And I think I talked with you also when we were Magic Live a few years ago.
I'm sure that would be the case, yeah.
And Alex, your last name is?
Lou. Alex Lou.
Lou. Very good. So we were just talking about how this is differing a little bit from what that they had done at Magic Live before. So, just tweaking it a little bit different.
Yeah, there's a couple of new things, and there's definitely a new ending to it, but we're not going to spoil that.
No, please don't. No, don't.
I think for us, actually, every single time we do it, it's different. Because we've actually had people who've come to the show 6, 7, 8 times, right? And have, it's so...
Different experience.
Different experience because the puzzles are so spread out and they're so intricate and where you sit really has a big difference to where, you know, what ends up being the outcome of it. And so, we're very excited. And for us, like, it's actually more fun. The show is watching people do it.
Sure.
It's not us doing
for
it.
For you
it's
particularly.
Watching everybody.
Being involved when I was doing it, that was one of the highlights of the convention, you know, when I saw that Magic Live, and I couldn't keep from talking about this to everybody. I was preaching the words, and man, if you ever get a chance, and so it was great you got to do that in L.A., you know, at Castle.
I think a lot of people out here also haven't seen it, so we're hoping to get a good cross-section of people. You know, not everybody like you is traveling the whole world over, you know, for every magic convention they can get to, but...
Well, look, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you guys very much. And for people who are listening, that it's, I don't know if it's too late to sign up. I know that they're full, but there may be a day pass or something. I don't know.
Well, I would have everybody go make sure that they sign up right away.
Yeah, if you can, get in if you
because this is going to be happening on Thursday and Friday, noon and dinner time. Is I just the four times, is that correct?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Saturday. So in other words, that if they want to just come in then later, then you can. We're here in Orlando then right now.
Yeah, but I would book the earliest show that people can possibly attend.
I'm doing Thursday. I'm doing tomorrow at lunch.
Yeah, that's what I would do. So it would fill those up. Because who knows, by Saturday you may be out of luck.
Because after they start hearing about it, they're going to...
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Hope. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm awesome. This is going to be awesome. Thank you guys very much. So for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Hannibal, Michael, and Alex. Got it. Okay. Scotty out. All righty, well, we are well into the first evening's show, the first evening's activities, because this afternoon has just really been the dealer's show. And I'm here now about after three people have been into it, here with Terry Ward. Hi, Terry. How are you?
How you doing?
Fantastic.
Good.
You live in Florida, don't you?
I do. I live about 40 minutes from here.
I was going to say, you can almost ride your bicycle here.
Yes.
So you going back and forth? You're not staying here?
No, I stay.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're late nights, you know, and that way I don't have to...
Exactly.
You know, I just go to the hotel and go to bed.
So have you been coming to every one of these?
I've been to every one that's been down here, yes.
Do you come because it's so darn close, or what's your reason for coming?
Well, no one is close, but some of the stuff that Richard brings in here, some things you don't get to see. And
for an example, in the past, what have you seen that you that come to mind that have been outstanding?
Goodness. The first guy I saw had some really neat moves here. That was lecturing.
Oh, Tom Donyon.
Yeah.
You're talking about, yes. Yep.
Really neat
spread
stuff.
Spread pass and, the way you call
that. Never seen that before. Uh-huh. That was really cool. When he had the mentalist guy.
Paul V. Hill?
No, years ago.
Oh, a few years ago. Uri Geller.
Yeah. That whole experience was really quite cool.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't know that much about him, and it was really neat to hear him speak. He has really what a great speaker.
Yeah, I think he's charismatic, very charismatic.
Very charismatic. You can see how he did what he did over the years.
Yeah, it still continues to do.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a podcast with him. It was number 500, in an episode. And it was fantastic that he is 74 years old, I believe it is, and still active in things that he does.
Amazing.
Yeah. Who was it last year that they had? I forgot who was the main attraction last year. Well, again, this is my first year actually attending.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who was here last year.
This year I know it's going to be Penn & Teller. And I think, is Lance Burton going to be doing something? No, Lance isn't this year.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Gaetan Bloom is going to be here.
That's right.
Well, he's looking to see him perform.
Yeah.
And then also Piff the Magic Dragon.
Right.
He's going to be here.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a midnight X-rated show or something.
Yeah.
No one below 18.
No one below 18, so that'll be good.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
A very funny gentleman. And
right.
I was trying to remember some of the stuff I saw last year. It's not coming to me right away, though.
You attend like a Magic Live and other conventions.
Right.
I think each convention has its own little atmosphere or ambiance, I guess. And so this is, again, first time I've been to this, and I'm already, getting a sense and a feel that most people are coming because it's kind of great to see not only friends, but also just good performers that are solid, but also just the folks who are here, who are attending.
So and he I does see a great job there. Of setting up the room and so that you can see everything and having the cameras on stage. You can see the close-up work. It's very impressive.
And I kind of like this idea of just doing a 45-minute thing and, kind of back-to-back with just a little 15 minutes in between like we're taking right now. And it's such diverse talent. I mean, we're talking about, to begin with, we had, as you mentioned, Tom Gagnon that talked about cards, and then Paul V. Hill was talking just about some really
a great performer and wonderful stuff.
Yep. Sarah Crasson.
That was great, wasn't it?
It was fantastic, talking about intellectual property and how you can protect that and patent and trademark and copyright, et cetera. So that was very enlightening. So,
considering how much trouble some people have had with it,
that's
true. It was nice to hear.
And then we're wrapping up with Jonathan Neal tonight.
Yes.
I think next. And then I don't think have anything late night tonight, so you can kind of make it early night tonight. But
yeah, because they moved one of the lectures, didn't they?
I believe so. Rob Zabrecki was a no-show. I think something came up, as I understand. He was on the bill, but I just heard this afternoon that he had to be changed. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, I don't know what happened. That came up that he's unable to make it. But what I think is also fascinating are the number of people from other countries who are here.
Yes.
From all over the world, Australia.
Well, Richard's traveled around so much, and he knows so many people that he really draws in quite a European flair and some of the folks from the Asian countries that come over. You really get to meet some interesting people at this convention. And just the fact that you can go right down to the mall and all eat together in the food court. It's
not just a regular food court in a mall. I mean, this is
it's a little high-end.
It is high-end, yeah. It's a really nice...
This mall, Florida Mall, is the mall that most people who come here to Orlando, this is the one where a lot of tourists come to visit. The higher-end one, even though, is Millennium Mall, but this is the one where, tour buses will just come and drop people off.
Really? Drop off. Wow. Okay.
And you'll see people from Brazil, all over the place, coming here, buy luggage, and just walk out with luggage full of clothes and stuff. I guess stuff they can't get at home.
Right.
It's always amazing to me.
Right. Well, another thing that I just heard that is going to be 49 boxes. Now, do you remember this?
Saw that at Magic Live.
Yeah.
And participated in that.
I did too. That was a lot of fun, but this is going to be a little bit different from what I understand.
Oh, is it?
I'm not sure what.
Well, it's going to be different. Maybe I should sign up for it.
You should. Because I think from what I'd heard, that they, rather than a team effort, it's going to be an individual effort.
Oh.
So you're going to be kind of, I don't know, working against other people. I don't know how it's going to be. Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's going to be a shorter time that you will have to compete and complete the task as well. But
I was lucky. I was with some very intelligent people because there were a few things that I was like, I do not understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
There were some people who were very good at puzzles like that. And so I had a good group. I got lucky. Yeah.
Well, this is supposed to be a little bit different experience. I just spoke with the two guys earlier, with Alex and Michael, who put this thing together, and they said, yeah, this is going to be different. So, yeah, if you haven't signed up, you need to.
I may have to sign
up. As a matter of fact,
they
said he was recommending you sign up earlier than later, because as people start talking about this, the later sessions are going to be full.
Oh, that's wise. That's a wise idea.
Yeah. So
you always get to see a bunch of pros here, too, which is nice.
Yeah. Who are not performing.
No,
they're
just here to
just
hang
out. Like yourself, for an
Me,
example. It's good to see you.
Michael Amar, I see over here. Noel Britton behind us, who has just been nominated as the president of the Magic Circle, I believe.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, there's someone who...
Yeah.
So you just look around the room and you see all kinds of people.
Yep. There are a lot. Well, they're getting ready, I think, over here. I see Richard's making us take our seats. Terry, as always, thanks very much.
Pleasure speaking with you. Enjoy yourself.
All right. Thanks a lot. You too. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Terry Ward. Scotty out.
Thank you so much.